Chapter 11. The blessed were rugged, dirty, armed with two blades apiece, and had us surrounded. There were 10 of them in total, so I guessed this was the very same group who'd tracked us to begin with. All of these men were large and corded with muscles, but the angel magic coursing through their veins had made them stronger and far more unrelenting than they ever would have been otherwise. It wasn't just their eyes that had changed thanks to the angels, and I knew there was only one way to defeat them now. I didn't want us to reveal our hell powers to them, especially after what had happened with the deacon, but it looked to be our best option. Ash and I were carrying a pair of onyx knives on us, and the cudgel from the kobold was attached to my belt. No matter what magic the strange blue blades had, and the strength behind the cudgel, it wouldn't be enough against this many holy hunters. Not when they each had two holy swords on them. We might get a few good jabs in, but other than that, we'd be outdone in this crowd. And these bastards needed to die. It was either us or them. Now, the only question was how to pull this off without worsening our situation. If the many residents of the Shadow Quarters saw us using our hell powers tonight, any of them could decide to sell us out, especially now that tensions were high and raids would ramp up for a few days. Anyone could be looking for an easy way to protect themselves, and handing two demons to the church would more than achieve that. There was an alley just a few paces back to our right, and if we could get the Blessed to follow us down there, then we could fight them off without onlookers having to see. I drew a deep breath and slowly stepped backward, and none of the Blessed pounced. So I turned around and calmly proceeded with Ash stiffly strolling beside me, and we walked straight into the alley we'd just passed. Then we stopped, turned back around, and waited as the Blessed slowly filed into the cramped space. Shadows doused the entire area, but all of our eyes glowed through the darkness. I counted up the swords each of the rugged bastards held, but one of them chose to bring a giant baton with him instead, and I decided to keep this guy in mind. I couldn't touch the holy swords without melting my fucking flesh off, but that baton would do nicely, and it had better range than the small onyx blade in my belt. Excitement trickled down my spine as I sized up my holy enemies, and I couldn't wait to get my hands around their necks and watch the life fade from their blessed eyes. I could sense Ash's own excitement beside me, too, and when I sent a brief glance in her direction, I saw her silver, venomous claws had already sprung from the tips of her fingers. "You should have run when you had the chance, cretins," one of the blessed snarled and took a step forward. "The Dark King can't save you now." He was the same burly man I'd first seen outside the inn window days ago, and I guessed he was the leader of this particular band of the Blessed. His hand rested on the hilt of one of his two swords, and while the golden gem on the blade glowed with vibrant angel power, he didn't move to unsheath it. He just sent me a murderous grin, and his eyes glowed a few shades brighter. "We don't work for the Dark King anymore," I growled. The thunderous timbre of my demon voice ricocheted around the alley, and the blessed leader's grin hardened into a disgusted sneer. Then I let smoke seep from between my teeth, and Ash chuckled while my violet eyes illuminated the haze. "Runaways," the leader snarled. "Even better." A few of his holy cohorts let out deep, greedy chuckles, and I knew they thought we'd be easy to pick off. There were only 2 of us and 10 of them, and they probably assumed our hell powers were gone since we'd turned our backs on our king. None of them seemed to have noticed Ash's claws thrumming impatiently against her thighs, either, and as for my own hell power, it was silently surging through my sinews, just waiting to be unleashed. "You're going to regret the day you broke out of your fucking pit," the leader chortled. "Oh, I don't know about that," I taunted, and I flashed a devilish grin. "I figured the Holy King was hiring, no?" "Watch your mouth, cretin," the leader snarled through his teeth. You speak the Holy King's name one more time, and I'll... Come on, I'll confess my wicked sins for you right here. I snickered through my smoke.
Yes, and if your holy brains aren't bleeding by the time he's finished...
Ash purred like a heathen bird.
We'll consider ourselves repented. Deal? Now, what is that phrase you use?
Bless us, O holiest of kings, I growled, for we have sinned. There was a short distance between us and the pack of holy motherfuckers, but my words did the trick, and the second one of the bystanding blessed lunged forward. I dropped down and sent a powerful punch straight into the solid ground. The stones rumbled and cracked as the force of my infernal tempest rippled out from my fist, and every building surrounding us shuddered as shingles broke loose from the roofs. They cascaded down around us while the blessed men stumbled all over from the violent shaking of the ground, but three still managed to hold their balance. Then one, with the holy sword drawn, shoved past his scrambling cohorts and headed straight for us. I stood defensively in front of Ash as he raised his 4-foot blade, and as soon as the man was close enough, I batted his heavy swing away with one arm, snapped his wrist, grabbed the cudgel from my belt, and then smashed him square in the chest. The spikes hammered into the sides as the wooden bearing tool pierced through the man's skin, and droplets of blood exploded from the pressure. I had to put all of my strength into the swing, and the weapon then appeared wedged into his chest cavity. Whoops, I forgot how squishy mortals were. I couldn't waste time pulling the cudgel free from the man, so instead, I grabbed him by the neck with my free hand and squeezed as tight as my hell power would allow me. His golden eyes bulged from their sockets for a moment, but then his jugular exploded in my grip, and golden blood splattered across me as I let out a smoky laugh. The other men all lunged toward us in unison before I even let the body drop. The infernal huntress caught one man in the neck with her venomous claws, and then she let the silver weapons pierce his flesh as he wailed in agony. Venom seeped into his neck and trickled down his chest, and blistering boils glowed in the pink light of Ash's fiendish eyes. Then she ducked an incoming punch, whipped around, and planted her boot in the groin of her next attacker. I turned my attention to the next bastard approaching me, and I thrust my fist into his gut before he could slash me with his holy sword. He grunted and absorbed the shock pretty well, but while he stumbled backward, the fucker with the baton swung at my back. The strike was as strong as any demon would have delivered, and I careened forward as pain shot through my spine. Then I let my hell power build in my sinews again as I rounded on the baton-wielding bastard, but before I could reach him, another of the blessed was already after me. He barreled into me head first like a fucking ram, and both of us smashed into the stone siding of a building. I grinned as the rocks cracked against my shoulder, and then I dropped onto the ground with the holy hunter beneath me. This man had scraggly dark hair that hung past his ears, and a scar ran from the left side of his forehead all the way down to his lip. He fought dirty as he clawed at my face, tore at my hair, and tried to embed his holy fingers in my eye sockets, but he'd soon have another scar to add to his growing collection. Smoke billowed from my mouth as I clamped my teeth on his ear, and his piercing shriek shook through me as I tore it clean off his skull. Then he punched me in the throat so hard I rolled several feet away from him, and when I recovered, he was already on his feet. Gold blood oozed down his head and neck where his ear was missing, and he crouched down to the ground at a speed I didn't see coming. But before I could work out his next movements, he had pounced, locked my leg in his arm, and flipped me down onto my back. Then the blessed fucker towered over me with his burly hand clamped around my neck, and I realized that not only did these blessed fight dirty, but they also smelled like they hadn't bathed in eons. The ripe scent of his human filth almost overpowered the scent of his holy evil. His glowing, golden eyes stared right into mine, too, as he raised a fist like he was about to punch straight through my skull to the cobblestones beneath me. The static sensation of my hell power had been building in my arm all this time, though. I raised my fist faster and smashed it through the fucker's jaw, and he wheezed from the shock, but I already had his throat in my hand, so the sound cut off immediately. Then I added my other hand to the back of his neck, and his face turned blue just before I felt the satisfying crack as his neck shattered from my surge of thunderous energy. I chuckled as he went lifeless in my grip, but then I shifted, planted my boots under his gut, and propelled his body straight off me and into the asshole with the baton. Both bodies crashed backward through the alley as the baton went flying, and I jumped up, grabbed the wooden rod, and swung it as hard as I could at another man's skull. He swiftly moved his head out of position for a split second, but I flipped the baton around and slammed the other end into his face before he could dodge me again. Bright gold blood splattered from the baton as an impressively gory wound split across the center of his forehead. I still grabbed a hold of the man's neck, since he was technically still alive, and I continued to beat the shit out of him with the baton until his bones cracked under the pressure and his golden eyes stopped glowing. Then I left him in a heap and tightened my grip on the bloody baton so I could move on to the next. Ash had clearly continued to swipe her claws at any piece of available flesh she saw, and she had her own pile of bodies around her. Some of them had boiling, oozing gouges where their eyes and lips should have been, but others had their entrails spilling from their stomachs. Now Ash's entire body shook with the need to get the last of these kills under her belt, and watching the fiend tear into the jugular of another burly blessed fucker sent lust coursing through my veins. The way her venomous claws sliced so easily through our enemy's tissue was beyond satisfying to witness. But she did it all in her blue, corseted dress while gold blood dripped down her skirts. Ash was quickly becoming the most incredible demon I'd ever had join me on a killing spree. But knowing she belonged to me now only made it more enjoyable to see her doing what she loved best. I'd certainly have to reward the little fiend for today's work, just as soon as we killed off the last of these blessed assholes. Once Ash's clawed victim dropped into a wailing death scene at her feet, we had 5 of the blessed left, but it appeared as though they had stayed back for a reason. The 5 men at the mouth of the alleyway looked far stronger than the dead men at our feet, and the leader was among them. Still, I figured if we both took 2 each, then it should have been a walk in the park before picking him off. One of them pulled a holy sword from his belt, and I hit the wooden baton against my palm in a clapping motion as I waited for him to make the first move. I could barely control the adrenaline that coursed through my veins, and the potent scent of the blessed seeped into my nose until the stench seemed to burn in my mind. I was starving for vengeance against these holy fuckers who had ambushed us, and the smell of their fresh blood splattered on me brought a greedy grin to my face. Smoke billowed from my mouth as the man with the sword dove at me, but when Ash jumped over to cut him off, I snatched her arm, shoved her back, and let the fucker come at me. This one was mine. His holy sword slashed from my gut first, but I ducked and cracked my baton against his knee. He was as strong as me, but he didn't seem to be as fast, and when he recovered and whipped around to try and slice my head from my shoulders, I was already gone. 2 seconds later, he whipped back around the other direction to find me grinning like a fucking heathen through the violet smoke between us, and I snatched his skull in one hand. He convulsed from the shock of my infernal tempest pulsing through his brain, but then I lifted him clear off the ground and threw him into the brick wall behind me. His entire skull shattered in an explosion of brain matter and gold blood, and a satisfied growl rippled from my chest as I turned to the final 4. Another of the blessed had stepped forward with his own sword aimed at Ash, but my fiendish lover just urged him on with a playfully wicked smile. As soon as he lunged, she jumped aside and swung her venomous claws at his face, but he dodged the blow before the silver weapons could make contact with his flesh. I caught a hint of fear wafting from the fucker as he stumbled back to his leader's side, and Ash cackled as her own hellish smoke seeped from her mouth.
"Don't worry, I'll make it a slow and painful death. I swear on the name of the Holy King."
I was tempted to stand back and watch as Ash toyed with her kill, but I was having too much fun, and slaughtering with her was becoming a new favorite pastime of mine. Angel magic or not, I now knew these guys were fucked once the two of us got a hold of them, and I was eager to send the church a valuable message. They could create an army of these blessed bastards, but Ash and I would still leave them dead in a pool of their cursed blood.
"Would you care to do the honors?"
I asked Ash with a polite bow of my head.
"Oh no, I think our holy guests deserve the very best treatment, don't you?"
Ash responded in the same sarcastic and demonic tone.
"I insist you do the honors."
"Come now, we may be heathens, but I'm sure we can manage to share."
"Oh, you're right. Let's not be absolute cretins about this. You can paralyze them, and I'll slice their holy testicles open with my pretty nails."
"Lovely," I snarled through my grin. Then the two of us turned our glowing eyes on our four enemies, and our combined hunger brought a pair of demonic growls from our smoky throats. The blessed leader surveyed the scene before him for a moment, and I could tell he was thinking twice now. His golden eyes roved over the bloody, crushed, and boiled remains of his comrades, and I knew he wasn't up for meeting his death just yet. I waited him out while a hint of fear kept wafting from a couple of his sidekicks, and I tried to decide what exactly I'd do with the baton in my hand. Maybe I would pierce the wood through one of their eyes until it protruded from the back of their skull. I could turn one of their heads into the tasty lumps of meat we'd enjoyed eating and use the baton as a handle. Or I could just play fair, hold them in place with my paralyzing hell power, and let Ash shred their throats with her claws for an hour or so. My mouth began to salivate at the thought of watching my demon lover have her fun, but the little fiend was getting impatient, waiting for the blessed leader to recover his holy balls for this fight.
"Oh, for fuck's sake,"
Ash sighed when they refused to step forward.
"Fine, we'll come to you, but don't say we weren't trying to be polite."
We moved as one to lunge forward, and I took a hold of one man's jacket before he could dodge. My fingertips squeezed around the leather, and the man tried to pull away. But I was stronger and quicker than these assholes. I had the baton firmly in my spare hand and tasted revenge on my tongue as I planned on slicing the baton through the man's head. But before I could put my skull-piercing plan into action, a wall of golden smoke billowed up in front of us. It expanded around our holy opponents, and it was so thick and blindingly bright that I couldn't even see the blessed through it. Then the smoke shot forward and engulfed us all, and I hacked, spluttered, and wheezed through deep, painful coughs as the holy shield scalded my already heated throat. It felt like needles stabbing at the tender tissue of my innards, and I fumbled to find Ash in the haze and drag her back with me. I cupped my free hand over my mouth and nose to stop the toxic, holy fumes from destroying my lungs, but before I could decide what the hell to do, the smoke suddenly started to clear. I could see the stone buildings on either side of us again, but when the end of the alley came into view, the blessed had vanished.
"Fuck!"
I roared and hurled the baton against the wall. The wood splintered into a million pieces, and I cursed a dozen more times as stones crumbled onto the alley's ground.
"What the fuck was that angel smoke?"
Ash seethed as she stormed forward and looked all up and down the next street. I don't know. I've never seen the Blessed pull that shit before, but as far as I know, their kind aren't supposed to flee like fucking cowards either.
Those bastards took the easy way out.
I knew they were a pack of bitches the second I saw them. I tore the cudgel free from the dead man's chest, and then let the dead Blessed crunch under my boots on my way to Ash. If anyone else had approached us at that moment, I wouldn't have hesitated to tear them limb from limb, no matter who they were. Fucking shit. I laughed once more and rifled my long, sweaty hair out of my face.
What do we do? I want to kill more of them. Should we try to hunt them down?
We should reposition. It's the best if they can't recall our location. We'll gather our things and find a new place to sleep for the night.
But what about the Blessed?
She frowned, and she motioned toward all the dead bodies that lined the tight space. I'm sure someone can clean the mess up for us. Anyway, the fuckers shouldn't have ambushed us in the first place if they didn't want to be left in the street to rot. The demon woman let out another evil chuckle as we turned away from the alley, and in a matter of minutes, we'd sprinted down the grassy hill beyond the beacon of flames and into the Grimway. We returned to our room to grab our belongings while we had the chance, and once everything had been collected, Ash and I left the dwarf's inn and began to run through the dark streets of the Grimway and in the direction of the outer shadow quarters. We peered down every alley and side street as we passed them to make sure no glowing golden eyes were lurking around, but then we continued to run when we saw our path was clear. Nowhere seemed safe right now, but we couldn't stay directly where the Blessed had found us tonight. The outer marketplace near the rusty entrance of the Shadow Quarters was deserted, and the only thing that gave the place life were a few lanterns burning in the windows of the buildings. I wasn't quite sure where to go, but I knew Ash was depending on me to find us a place for the night, and I couldn't let her down. She deserved somewhere soft and warm to sleep, especially after fighting so hard beside me tonight, and I wasn't going to stop looking before we had that place in our possession. I was about to suggest we buy a room in the inn the half-orc owned, but then I noticed someone emerging from a darkened shop up the street. This man was tall, with blonde hair that flowed neatly down the black jacket he wore. His pants were also black, and his dark shoes shone in the moonlight. His skin was pale, and when he shifted some of his hair back from his face, I noticed a point at the tip of his ears. It wasn't until he turned away from the door he was locking that I recognized the half-elf's face. It was the same one who had sold me the weapons on my first day here. "Hello," I said to him. The half-elf stopped in his tracks and peered over at Ash and I warily. He didn't sprint away, but he didn't seem eager to stick around either, and he kept his gaze directed at the shadowy ground when he finally responded. "Hello," the half-elf copied in a smooth tone. "You helped me on my first day here. You told me about the inn I could stay at?"
"Yes, I remember," he nodded. "What is it?"
"Do you know of anywhere else to stay around here? Somewhere off the main paths? We've had to escape our home suddenly, and we don't know where to go at this hour." Ash kept quiet beside me, but I glanced over to see her sending the half-elf an innocent look that made her eyes seem much less intimidating.
"Did you get caught in the raid earlier? I know it has affected quite a few."
"Yes," I replied, and I decided this was only a partial lie. We'd just been raided by the Blessed instead of the fucking Kingsguard, but we were screwed as much as the others.
"I paid for a few of our allies to get a room at the inn, but we need somewhere more secluded for ourselves, as I said."
I hoped my elaboration would help the half-elf decide upon an answer. I saw in his face that he was thinking something over, and he pondered silently for a short while before he came up with a decision.
There is a spare flat attached to my home. It has been abandoned for many years, but if I can trust you with it, then you can stay there for now, just until you find another place to go. Things will calm down after the banquet."
"Thank you," I replied with deep relief.
"You won't regret this decision, and we'll pay you for the loan of your home." The half-elf closed his eyes and nodded his head slowly. Then he waved his hand to have us follow him, and Ash and I walked behind the elf as he took us through the small streets of the Shadow Quarters. It was several minutes before he stopped outside a tall stone building with a small patch of grass on one side. This half-elf must have been decently wealthy in order to own a private patch of grass with his home. And right beside the house, made from the same old bricks, was a smaller home with a set of stairs that led up one side. I assumed this was the flat he spoke about, and I was pleased to see none of the windows in it were broken.
"Wait here, and I will get the key for the flat,"
the half-elf said calmly before he walked away. A various number of conversations were faintly heard as he entered his house, and I guessed he had a large family that all lived there with him. Candlelight lit up the glass windows of the tall home, and it was the first time since I had arrived on the surface world that a place had seemed warm and inviting in this city. I could only try to imagine the more carefree life they must lead in this house, and I doubted they had any trouble with possessed holy fuckers like we did.
"We'll leave this place as soon as we're able," I muttered to Ash. "I'd rather not put a target on their backs."
"I agree,"
she replied with a nod. The half-elf appeared shortly after, and he had an old brass key in his hand. I rummaged around my pants pockets and brought out two handfuls of pieces, and I gave him the wares in exchange for the key.
"Thank you again."
"Thank you,"
the half-elf replied as he accepted the gold coins.
"I'll bring a few buckets of water to the door for you in a moment. The bed in there should be made up, and I can find some firewood tomorrow."
"I appreciate it," I replied. He couldn't meet our gazes, and his tense posture made it clear he didn't like the idea of us staying in the flat beside him, but he hadn't changed his mind yet. I wasn't sure whether it was the money or how I had said I'd helped the others find somewhere to stay after the raid, but I was relieved his good nature held out despite our obviously questionable appearances and the stench of evil about us. I led Ash up the stairs on the side of the next building and unlocked the door using the brass key provided. The first thing I noticed was the small table and chairs placed beside one of the windows, and there was a fireplace in the center of the back wall with a mottled mirror above it. The flat felt cold and airy, but it didn't make much difference to a pair of demons. Opposite the fireplace was a large bed like the one we had slept in at the inn, and then another door led into a much smaller room. The only thing in that room was a slab of wood that had a hole carved out in the middle of it. A bucket had been placed underneath the slab of wood for waste. Outside of that small room, I noticed a bathing tub like we had had in the dwarf's inn. I couldn't wait to once again feel the cold water over my bare skin, and for Ash to accompany me, just like she had done last time. Tonight I was exhausted, though, and after we had inspected the flat, I piled my weapons and remaining pieces on the table near the window. The half-elf knocked lightly at the door to deliver two buckets of fresh water, soap, and three towels we could use for washing up, and he assured me he'd work out enough water for us to bathe properly tomorrow. I thanked him again before he left, and then I returned inside and readied myself for bed. I still had residual adrenaline powering through my bones, and the fury from the fight with the Blessed was still too clear. There was much to address, and I had no idea how little time I'd have to handle it all. But I couldn't deny this day hadn't really gone all to hell. We'd learned a lot with regards to our own endeavors here, and even though the Holy Hunters had gotten the jump on us, we'd more than held our own. We'd also seen they could be rattled into fleeing with the proper amount of force applied, and the thought sent a trickle of satisfaction through me. Then I remembered how fantastic Ash had looked slicing through our victims with just her claws alone, and when I glanced over my shoulder, the view I found caused that sensation to grow. I watched hungrily as Ash slowly slipped out of her blue dress and untied the laces of her boots. She must have known I was admiring every inch of her, because she took her time revealing herself. Eventually, her pale, naked skin was fully illuminated in the dappled moonlight from the window, and I suddenly had the urge to brush my fingers across her collarbone and down the soft skin of her arm. Then Ash brought herself in front of the mirror to untie her shimmering hair from her braids, and she arched her back as she used her fingers to comb through the hair. My arousal grew as I took in the sight of her full breasts and the smoothness of her silver skin, paired against the strength and muscles of a huntress. I didn't even register the movement of my own hands as they made light work of the clothing I wore, and before I knew it, they were in a pile on the floor beside hers. I placed my hands over Ash's hips as she continued to play with her hair, and when she caught on to what I was up to, her own hungry look increased tenfold. Then I dragged her body closer and attacked her supple lips with my own. My hunger grew as I bit at the demon, and I thought I was going to combust from it as she slipped her tongue into my mouth. Her sinfully sweet flavor heated me up even more, and the need to devour this incredible little fiend surged inside me. My hands became lost in her silver-blue hair, and my body tingled all over as she scratched up my spine with her nails. Then my dick hardened like a rail as Ash's kisses deepened, and I hooked her legs with both hands so I could throw her down onto the bed. The moment she was laid out in waiting for me, I raked my gaze over every silvery inch of her, and her perked nipples glittered in the moonlight. I came forward while I warred with the fury still burning inside me, but I waited another moment before joining her.
You look so hungry, Master.
Ash purred, and her words stoked the fire in my sinews. I am, I growled back.
I am here to satisfy your appetites,
the demon woman said as she spread her legs toward me. Yes, you're entirely mine. Isn't that right?
Yes, Atticus.
Ash moaned and bit her plump lip. What is it you need? I demanded as I climbed onto the bed.
You,
she breathed, and I let out a growl of approval.
All of you. I need you to take me as hard as you can, and I can tell you need it even more.
I drifted my hands down her silvery hips until they reached the soft curve of her ass, and then I forcefully lifted her legs up so that she could feel the effect her words had on me. Her pink pussy glistened with arousal as I slid my shaft along her. But then, without any warning, I slammed my dick inside her tight entrance and watched in delight as her back arched off the bed. Ash's hands grabbed handfuls of the bedding while she writhed from my girth, but then she let out a long, shaky moan as I pushed deeper.
More?
Is that what you were after? I growled as I gave her a rough thrust. You want my angry cock tonight?
Yes, please, deep inside of me.
I grinned at the desperation in her voice, and my movements became harder and faster in a matter of seconds. I caught her lips in another searing kiss as the hunger roared inside of me, and Ash hooked her legs around my ass so I could only plunge my cock deeper inside her accepting tunnel. Then the little fiend whimpered from every powerful thrust as I fucked her without holding back. But as she started to quiver beneath me, her muscles suddenly tensed. In the blink of an eye, Ash forced me over onto my back so she could take control, and her trembling body glistened in the dappled moonlight as she let out a sultry sigh. I watched as she slowly traced her lips with the tip of her tongue. But then Ash grabbed hold of my wrists and pulled them up above my head. My dick twitched at the sudden movement, and now that she had me pinned down for once, she slowly sank her pussy down onto my cock. I shook with pleasure as her pink eyes glinted commandingly, and I knew if the huntress inside of her had come alive, I wasn't going to last very long tonight. Not with her perfect breasts directly above my mouth, and her tiny waist rolling hypnotically, so every part of my cock rubbed the deepest places inside of her pussy. Fuck, you look tasty up there. I groaned, and I tried to resist the urge to devour her silver nipples.
Do you want me to keep going, master?
Oh, please don't stop, I begged lightly. The demon woman immediately purred at my words, and I was pleased to see how easy it was to gain her favor. She was already writhing around my cock in response, and she met my gaze with a purely devoted expression.
Anything for you.
Then a devious glint flashed into her pink eyes, and the heat in my chest doubled all at once. I pulled my wrists away from her hold so I could firmly grip her muscular thighs, and all I could do was lay there and watch as she continued riding my dick in a tantalizingly slow and deep rhythm. The whole time Ash kept me there, she gently clawed at my chest and let her eyes burn into mine, and every inch of her was flawless and shimmering in the moonlight. Her slippery pussy was like sweet torture as she took her time fucking me, and my energy was only increasing while my hunger continued to burn white hot. I tried to be patient and just enjoy the show, but the tempting glint in Ash's eyes proved she was waiting for me to lose my damn mind. Eventually, I was so worked up, I couldn't resist having my own say in the matter again, and I flipped us over to take control of the fiend. After that, I pounded my full length in and out of her pussy with all the force I had to offer. I let my arousal build until I was seconds away from combusting. Ash's velvety walls started convulsing around my dick with every thrust, and the heavy breaths that hitched in her throat assured me she was just as close as I was.
Yes. Oh, please don't stop. Oh, I'm gonna...
Not yet, I ordered as I refused to stop thrusting into her.
Atticus, I need to. I can't wait.
You'll wait. You'll do what I tell you to do. My hands palmed her shaking breasts and massaged them to drive her crazy, and Ash's eyes glistened with her desperate need to climax. But I wasn't quite finished with her. I roughly pulled away without warning, and Ash growled impatiently as I stood from the bed. Onto your knees, I murmured through panting breaths. Now, present your ass to me.
Yes, master.
Ash smirked and complied to my orders, and she perched herself on all fours with her perfect butt facing me. I gently stroked one cheek with my hand while she purred softly in response, but then I slipped a finger inside her warm, sticky pussy to gather the lubricant I'd need.
Are you going to claim my ass, master?
Do you want me to?
Yes. Please, I want to feel your big cock in there. Spread me open.
Very well. Ash was quivering with arousal when I placed my wet finger inside the smaller, tighter hole above her sopping pussy. Then I did it a few more times until I felt as if her butthole was lubricated as well as her pussy. You feel wet enough. Are you ready?
Yes,
she begged, and then I parted her taut ass cheeks and slid my dick inside. Oh, fuck, I groaned as soon as I was as deep as I could go inside of Ash's perfect asshole. The unbelievably tight sensation was like nothing I had ever felt before, and I shook with pleasure as Ash arched her back and moaned without reserve. She was trembling and tipping her hips up for more of my cock, and I did my best to give her more while I fought not to come immediately. Then I slid my fingers around to her clit, and as I forced myself even deeper in her vice grip, the demon woman began to spasm uncontrollably. My restraint finally reached a breaking point at the same time Ash's did, and while she wailed through an ecstatic orgasm, I pulled out and let my heated seed coat her silky back. With each heavy pulse, the rage in my chest simmered down as my cock kept gushing more and more cum onto my demon lover, and the whole time my fingers flicked across her clit to keep her orgasming too. Ash's little whimpers and moans filled my mind as I forced her into another immediate climax, and a sheen of sweat cooled my skin while my heart pounded heavily in my chest. I'd only recovered for a moment before the need to have my way with Ash all over again boiled in my veins, though. I couldn't get enough of the beautiful fiend, especially when she so willingly let me do anything I liked with her pussy, mouth, and ass, and there was no possible way to ignore the intense hunger that took over my body every time I looked at her silvery curves. I picked up a soapy washcloth, cleaned my cock thoroughly, and then returned to the bed as quickly as I could so that I could fuck her again.
More?
Ash chuckled like a heathen when I started stroking the tip of my already hard cock against her again, and when she tipped her hips up once more, I didn't hesitate to ease back into her pussy for another round. And then another. Hours passed before my balls finally felt empty of cum, and Ash was strewn and dripping on the blankets when I stumbled off the bed to bring the bucket of water over. Then I grabbed a washcloth as well, and I returned to find Ash's silver-blue hair slicked back from the sweat on her forehead. She had a blissful smile on her plump lips as she crawled closer to me, and then her eyes closed delicately while I gently trailed a damp cloth across her silvery skin and pussy to clean the copious amounts of cum I'd poured inside and on her. Once my demon lover was taken care of, I cleaned up as well, and I finally laid down beside her.
Are you feeling satisfied?
She purred and traced the outline of my face with her slender finger.
Oh, much better. How do you feel?
I feel better than I ever have before.
Ash smiled sweetly, and her pink eyes glinted in the softest way.
That was the answer I was looking for.
I enjoy the way you look at me.
Enjoy?
It's hunger and lust, and I don't know the feeling for sure. You look at me in a way that makes my heart hammer in my chest and my legs feel weak.
I like the way you look at me, too.
I don't think we're supposed to feel this way about each other.
Maybe not, but I don't give a fuck about the Dark King's rules. You are mine. Forever. Understand?
Yes. I love being yours.
I wanted Ash to know without a doubt that I would take care of her. And even though the surface world was a fucking crazy place for beings like us, it was better than the hellscape. We were better off belonging to each other than to anyone else, and I'd do whatever it took to make sure neither of us ended up back there again. Ash curled up in my arms with a contented sigh, and we both laid there for a while, with the blissful atmosphere coating the air. For a moment, I thought she had drifted off to sleep, but then Ash opened her eyes again and peered up at me.
Atticus, what are we going to do?
I smirked. I hadn't been so caught up in our lovemaking to forget our situation, and while I'd used the little fiend's pleasurable body to work out my frustrations, I'd also been working through a few solutions. The band of the Blessed who were after us were far from gone, so the real question was, were they going to return again? And should we hunt them and strike first?
The Church may not have heard about our fight with the Blessed yet, I mused and stroked Ash's back. If memory serves, the Blessed tend to prefer handling their work without their superiors breathing down their necks. The Church trusts them explicitly, and this could be to our advantage.
I don't think they'll stop looking for us, though.
Neither do I. And I'm not a fan of being hunted by anyone less beautiful than yourself, so we have a bit of work to handle.
Ash propped herself up on her elbow, and I admired the swell of her silver cleavage against my ribs.
Does this mean...
she said with a devious smile.
Oh, yes. I grinned back. Tomorrow we begin preparations to hunt us some deliciously holy prey.